You know, I'm going to borrow an animal story from yesterday because it was a pretty interesting story. A small plane apparently crashed in Africa, killing all but one person on board the commuter airline. What had happened is one of the passengers had a crocodile in his equipment bag, and it got out as they were making final approach. The flight attendant got so scared she went screaming toward the front of the cockpit. A panic of the passengers, they all ran to the front. Plane became off balance. It crashed. Everybody but one person died. So moral of the story is don't take your reptiles with you when you travel.
Yeah. You know, we talk about not taking your dogs to the grocery store with you in the summer heat. Yeah, just don't pack your reptiles and your carry-on.
No, probably not a good thing to do. Hey, what's going on? Ashley's here from the animal shelter. What's going on?
Well, luckily not that.
Good, good. Glad to hear
We're
that.
We're excited about that. No reptiles. Lots of things going on with us. We are doing trick-or-treating at the animal shelter Friday and Saturday. It's a little bit of a twist on trick-or-treating. You don't have to wear a costume unless you just want to. Come to the shelter Friday and Saturday during regular business hours. For a dollar donation, you can get a handful of treats, either kitty treats or doggy treats, and you can feed those to the animals at the animal shelter.
Very good.
Yeah, so some of them may or may not do tricks for you. I can't guarantee
no
that.
No guarantees.
Yeah. No guarantee on the tricks. But yeah, we thought that would be fun. And so even if you're not looking to adopt a pet, but you've got a few minutes maybe at lunch or in the afternoon after work, come by and go trick or treat with the animal shelter. And that's it's a fundraiser for us and something fun for the animals, so they won't know the difference if it's Halloween, but they sure will like those treats.
They love treats any old time.
Any old
sure.
time of the day or night, they're all up for treats. So we have that going on. We are also participating in a rabies vaccination clinic that will be at the Bryan HEB on Saturday. The hours, I believe, for that are 8 to 11, but you can either call the shelter or double check our website for the exact hours, but I believe it's 8 to 11. That's at the Bryan HEB parking lot.
They have little reminder cards. I was in it yesterday and I saw
yes.
that. So right there where you write your checks.
Where you write your checks, they're on the counter there to tell you about it. And they're providing not just rabies vaccinations. We'll be doing county tags. They'll be doing microchips. But I believe that vet group that's doing that also provides a host of other vaccination and heartworm testing services. I don't have all the details on that. We're providing the county licenses for that event. But again, you can check our website or, like you said, if you're in HEB shopping. So that's this weekend. And then another rabies vaccination clinic will be November 14th. No, November 13th, I believe, is the
right.
Saturday.
Yes.
Not to get that confused.
Got it. Yes,
it will be Saturday the 13th. It will be at Neal Elementary in Bryan. We'll be doing just rabies vaccinations, county licenses, and microchips. We're doing that in partnership with the student chapter of the AVMA over at the vet school. So the shelter and the vet student group over there are putting that rabies vaccination clinic on. And, again, that's November 13th. So if your pet's needing a rabies vaccination, there's really no excuse for not getting one because we're providing a couple of different opportunities for you to be able to do that. So, again, you can check out the website or give us a call for more details on the times and that sort of thing.
And what's that contact info?
The shelter is 775-5755, and the website is brazosanimalshelter.org.
Mm-hmm.
And on the website, you can see pictures of adoptable pets. We're in the second week of our Fall in Love adoption event, which is half-price adoptions on all spayed or neutered pets.
All right, so lots going on.
Lots
huh?
going on at the animal shelter.
Very good. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
All right, Ashley's the executive director of the animal shelter here on Tuesdays, and Jordan's here this morning from the Chamber of Commerce to talk about things going on. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you doing?
All
this
right,
morning?
What's on your list of stuff?
Well, actually, first, got to say thank you for last night.
We enjoy it.
Yes, you hosted a great forum, or moderated, I guess I should say,
right.
you and Steve Fullhart there from KBTX, and it went really well. We want to thank everybody that came out, and of course, we want to thank Bill Flores and Chet Edwards and their wives for coming out and attending, taking part in this important event. So make sure to vote, and whether now or later.
Do your part there.
There
right.
you go. So thank you for taking part in that, Scott. And we got to talk about what's going on today, actually. At 11:30 out at Pebble Creek Country Club, we have a luncheon with Dr. Elliot Eisenberg. And I hear that you may have him.
He's waiting outside right now.
Exactly.
He's coming in as soon as we finish.
There we go. So you'll learn. I won't talk much about Dr. Eisenberg, but we do. We still have actually about 8 tickets left.
Okay.
So if you're interested, you've been interested in luncheon, you heard the RSVP passed, give us a call this morning, 260-5200. we can still get you in. We can't necessarily get you if you just walk up to the table.
Well, you'll hear him today. I think after you hear him, if you've got the time, he's pretty dynamic.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that starts at 11:30, goes to 1. It's $25 for a ticket, which does, of course, include lunch at Pebble Creek. So if you're interested, like I said, we got about 8 spots left. Give us a call, 260-5200. First thing you can, we open at 9 a.m., and we'll get you set up. Of course, on Thursday, we got our next business after hours, which is, if you're not familiar, it's a networking experience. You don't have to necessarily be a chamber member. We invite both chamber members and non-members to come out. And that's going to be at Chrome, a salon experience. It's right there off University Drive near Wings and More and that shopping center. So that starts at 5:30, goes to 7, and we hope to see everybody out there. A few other things to talk about. Coming up on November 3rd next week on Wednesday, we have our annual Youth Career Fair. That's a great community event where we bring in 8th grade students from all over the Brazos Valley. In fact, right now, I think we're estimating 3,100 eighth graders. That's a lot of kiddos. So we need businesses. Actually, another deadline that has passed, but we can still fit in about 4 or 5 more businesses. So
okay.
If you're interested in telling these kids what you do every day for your job and helping them maybe down their road as they get ready to go in high school and choose classes and choose a course in life, give us a call or go to the website, bcschamber.org. We have the registration form on there. We can still get you in. So that's on Wednesday, November 3rd next week. And one last thing to talk about is our annual banquet's also coming up on November 8th, Monday, November 8th. And we have Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Yes, Walker, Texas Ranger is going to be our keynote speaker. He's going to be talking a little bit about his Kickstart Foundation program that he started, which really, really great program. You'll hear a lot about the banquet. If you want to come meet Chuck and have a great evening and celebrate the chamber, we'll also be honoring a Citizen of the Year, a Volunteer of the Year, an Ambassador of the Year. That's November 8th, goes 6 to 9. We do have tickets available and also reserve tables. And once again, if you just need any information whatsoever, call us at 260-5200. And the website again is bcschamber.org. One ribbon cutting to talk about this week is this Friday. Our good friend Chandler Arden, downtown Uncorked, the wine bar in downtown Bryan, is going to be having their ribbon cutting. That's at 4:30 this Friday, so come on down and have a glass of wine and celebrate their chamber membership. And thank you to University Pediatrics Association this week for being our platinum member.
All right, great. Thank you, Jordan. We visit with folks from the chamber on Tuesdays, brought to you by Brazos Valley Carpet Outlet and Aguiland Lighting Center.
Brazos Valley Carpet Outlet is celebrating the football season with a fall wood blowout. I'm Chuck Morrow, inviting you to come to our store at Old Welvin Road and Rock Prairie and ask for hardwood starting as low as $1.99 a square foot.
I'm Suzanne Morrow. Get ready for your weekend guests by visiting our staff about your flooring needs for your home or your business. And don't forget, the Aggieland Lighting Center is right next door.
At Carpet Outlet, you won't find a better selection, and you can't find a better price.
And that's a promise.
News Talk 1620, WTAW, it's 8:18. If I would 99% of the time tell you I'm about to talk to an economist, you'd go, no, you don't want to do that. Because what Elliot Eisenberg does is talk about housing. He works for the National Association of Home Builders. Elliot, how are you? It's good to see you once again.
It is great to be here. Thank you. A pleasure as always.
Now,
it's been too long.
You were here about 3 years ago, and things were wonderful.
Didn't appreciate it, did
we? No, everybody was happy and excited, and then September 2 years ago happened. And tell us, first of all, you're going to do a luncheon today. It starts at 11:30 at Pebble Creek. It's called Does Growth Pay Its Way? Tell me what you're going to cover today.
We're going to cover and look at age-old questions of how many jobs does a house create when a house is being built. The answer is about 2.5. How many, including ripple face jobs, and how many jobs does the house maintain once the house is built and people live in the house and want burgers flipped and legal bills paid and banks and burgers and tattoos and Botox shots. And we're going to look at all those numbers, and then we're going to ask, how fast does that revenue, how quickly can it pay off the bills you got to build to build roads and sewers and police stations and fire stations? And the answer is 2 years. Right. Housing pays away in 2 years. I actually did a hypothetical and said, what if new house prices drop by 25%? So if they fall from about 260 to about 195,
okay.
Houses pay for their way in 6 years. So this notion of we have to raise impact fees and stick it to builders and developers and hurt our home building industry so that it covers itself is just not true. Politicians may want to hurt the home building industry, but it's not because it's not paying its way. It's because they want money.
Okay, Elliot works for the home builders, so you understand, National Home Builders Association. Tell us a little kind of a microscopic picture that you see of the Brazos Valley and how that might be different from maybe Texas and certainly the national patterns.
All right. You're really well off here. I mean, you don't realize it, but yeah. you're listening audience. You guys are all living the dream. You don't feel it, I know, but it's true. If you look at the states, Texas is far and away the healthiest big state there is. I mean, compared to California, this is like shooting fish in a barrel. It's not fair. But New York, not really well. Pennsylvania, not really well. Illinois, quite badly off. Florida, quite badly off. So you look at these 5 or 10 large states, Ohio, you're clearly the best of the bunch. The other healthy states in the country go from Texas straight north through North Dakota. I mean, those are the 6 or 7 healthiest states, the whole middle of the country, and the health of the economy will go from there, radiating out both east and west. Now, within Texas, there are better places and there are worse places. And clearly a place like College Station Bryan is among the healthiest because you've got fabulous employment centers here. You've got the university, which is I drove by yesterday. It's building buildings and growing and doing nifty stuff. So you've got money from that. Oil revenues are good here. Agriculture is pretty healthy nationally. So energy is good. Ag is good. Education is good. So while you may not be seeing tremendous housing starts compared to a couple of years ago, and you're down, certainly, prices haven't declined much here. Levels of foreclosure are relatively low compared to other parts of Texas and certainly compared to the average in the U.S. So count your blessings and be appreciative. And remember that, you know, things go both ways. Back in 86, 85, things weren't so great here by comparison.
Sure. Elliot Eisenberg joining us. He's an economist, a senior analyst at National Association of Home Builders. Okay, so Texas, but why up the middle of the country? What are the reasons that cause it to be just as a group better?
Partly it's because those states didn't experience the huge price run-up. They're by and large more business friendly, less regulations, so that if they want to build homes in Fargo, North Dakota, they can do it. You want to build homes in Topeka, Kansas, you can generally do it. Oklahoma, San Antonio, and so on. Generally, this is how it goes. So you've got that going. Secondly, you've got agriculture, which has been relatively stable and good. It's been excellent to good the last couple of years. North Dakota and Texas have energy, a lot of energy in North Dakota. So these are all states that seem to have a couple cylinders all working for them. By contrast, the coastal cities like Seattle and L.A. on one hand and Washington, D.C., not so much, there, Atlanta more and Florida more, had their big price run-ups, and now they've had big price collapses, which has really destroyed a large part of the economy in those cities.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a couple states of news things. National Realtors Association says that existing homes took a 10% jump last month.
They did.
Your thoughts on that, why that happened, and what is that going to mean?
There are a couple things. One, it's not a leading indicator. It's either a coincident or lagging indicator, so it says things got better. There are a couple things going on. One is FHA tightened up the rules on qualifying for mortgages, so that pushed a couple folks to run in before the edge, and this data covers some of that. And there's also that the home buyer tax credit expired in April. They had to close by end of September to get it.
Okay.
So these numbers are being juiced slightly.
Yeah,
by
those
that
were inflated from.
But I think this is more data saying, hey, you know, while we may not be making a great recovery, we're certainly not getting any worse, and we're at worst bumping along the bottom.
Right. Now, the whole foreclosure problem, BOA, that we saw was at a couple of weeks ago. How is that going to impact the idea of people being able to buy and sell homes?
Gosh, it's hard to know exactly. You can be of a couple different minds on that. On one hand, you can say banks are now going to be much more careful. They'll be more likely to take a short sale. They'll be more enthusiastic on that front. On the other hand, you can say the banks will just hold back and do nothing at all. They'll be paralyzed. Buyers will wait. Buyers will be nervous. They're fearful prices will come down. So you can sort of rationalize almost anything you want, which is what economists tend to do with two hands anyways.
Can always find something.
So I wish I really knew, but I think the bigger problem is everyone's now, it's a new layer of complexity. Banks are uncertain how it will affect their balance sheets. Buyers are uncertain. It just adds an extra layer of uncertainty. Clearly not something you want in a time like this.
Certainly. Wall Street Journal yesterday said that they're looking at eliminating or reducing that sacrosanct thing that we all have as home buyers and home builders, that you can write off that interest on your mortgage payment. What do you think? Are they just kind of sending a trial balloon up, first of all? And then secondly, how would that impact folks?
Let's hope it's shot down soon.
Yeah.
I think the issue here, remember, when you buy a house, you're buying two things. You're buying physical shelter and you're buying tax shelter. The interest that you pay is tax deductible. So because you know you're going to save that tax money up front, so you say your mortgage every year, total interest $10,000, and you're in the 25% bracket, you get $2,500 in back from Uncle Sam. That means you can afford to spend more for the house because you have this extra $2,500. If this mortgage interest deduction goes away, You'll pay more in taxes. You'll pay less in house. Your income will not have changed. House prices will have to fall. And house prices will fall based on the marginal tax brackets of the people buying the homes.
Okay.
So all house prices are going to start falling at the lower end, maybe 15, 20%. At the upper end, maybe 30 or 40%. But they're all going to fall. So if you were thinking of buying a house, you'd say, I think I'll wait. Because in a year, once this deduction goes away, house prices will fall. And if you just bought a house, you said, oh, congratulations, my house price has collapsed by 10 or 20%. Aren't I happy?
Yeah.
And we'll create this price decline all over the country,
uh-huh.
even in places like here, for example, in
right.
College Station Bryan, where you didn't have price declines. Now we'll have price declines.
And we're not used to that world. We don't want that world.
So I don't think anyone wants to add an extra layer of uncertainty
yeah.
with only downward potential. This is not like maybe it'll be good, maybe it'll be bad, like the mortgage problem. You can think of it both ways. This is unambiguously very bad.
Yeah. When did you first hear about this, that they might float
this
it?
This talk has been going on for – it's been going on for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I think they had a tax commission a couple of years ago. Bush had one,
mm-hmm.
and they proposed this idea, but it didn't go anywhere. This one's – it comes up, and I think it comes up now because they need a lot of money. So they're looking at defense and looking at a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
But this one would – they're all – a lot of them are bad, but this one would be especially given the timing of it. It's, add more downward pressure on house prices,
right.
convince buyers to stay away, prospective buyers to stay away, and encourage people to actually start walk away from their mortgage, encourage more defaults and foreclosures.
Yet one more thing. He's like a rock star economist. Well, you got to be someplace else probably this week, don't you?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Boston.
All right, you see. So, I mean, he's here today, and they got some tickets left, and it's at Pebble Creek today. It's the Bryan College Station Home Builders Association. Starts at 11:30. You can call the folks at the chamber if you want tickets. It's Ellie Eisenberg. Thanks for being with us this morning.
My gosh, it's always a pleasure.
All right, see you later.
Call me.
Okay.